In the first 13 verses of the 11th chapter, Ezekiel is dealing with the pending destruction of Jerusalem. There were those false prophets that were prophesying Israel's victory over Babylon, that Babylon would never take Jerusalem, but God, through Jeremiah and Ezekiel, were warning the people that Jerusalem was going to fall. And again, Ezekiel's dealing with the fall of Jerusalem and prophesying against those men who were giving the people a false hope in the time of great peril. And then in verse 14, he sort of changes. And God begins to address himself to his faithful remnant, those who did not follow after the lies of the false prophets, but those who would seek the Lord and forsake the wickedness of their culture, the abominations that were going on in Jerusalem. And though they would go into captivity and be scattered throughout the world, the Lord said unto them, verse 16, yet I will be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they come. They're going to be scattered, they're going to be strangers, they're going to be aliens in a hostile environment. Their enemies are going to hate them, they're going to be persecuted. And yet the Lord is promising to these faithful that he would be to them as a sanctuary, surrounding them, protecting them, watching over them. He would be as a shield to them against their enemies to protect them in these places where they would find themselves. You know, I so often, like Abraham, feel like I'm sort of a stranger and an alien in this world. The Bible says concerning Abraham that he confessed that he was just a stranger and a pilgrim here. And he was looking for a city that was founded upon God, whose maker and builder was God, that strong foundation. The Bible warns about when the foundations are removed. A society cannot stand, it cannot survive. And as I see the foundations of our society eroding, my heart is concerned. I get upset. I get angry. It disturbs me. I feel like a stranger. I feel like I'm an alien. Somehow I'm not in sync with the world. Nor do I desire to be in sync with the world. These talk shows in the afternoon, they upset me. I can't watch them. The lifestyles they espouse, the evil that they condone, I have a difficult time with that. My heart is an alien to these things. When I read of the judge here in Orange County ordering the Boy Scouts to admit into the scouting program these two little boys who do not want to take the scout oath because it has God in it. And now he's ordering the scouting program to admit these boys. If their atheistic parents have a problem with the little boys being exposed to God in the scouting program, let the atheists develop a program for the young people and let them have their own program where God is omitted. But they have no right to force the Boy Scouts to amend their constitution, to erode the foundations. It was built, it's a program that was designed to bring the young people into a commitment to God and to country. A loyalty to God, a loyalty to God. That's the foundation of the scouting program. Learning to honor God, learning to honor your country. And when they start eroding the foundations, I can't understand why and what goes on in the mind of a judge. I'll bet you anything he's a Brown appointment. And then for the homosexuals to insist that they be appointed in leadership in the scouting program. They be allowed to become scoutmasters and to direct scouting programs. Again, why don't they form their own program and see how many parents would be willing to send their children to a program that's run by pedophiles and homosexuals? How many of you would send your little boys to a camp that's run? They know you wouldn't. So they try to infiltrate and corrupt. And these kind of abominations were going on in Jerusalem, and God said, I'm going to wipe it out. But those who aren't going along with it, those who find their hearts at odds with these things, though they will be scattered, I will be to them a little sanctuary in the alien lands where they find themselves. I will surround them. I will protect them. I will be a shield to them. And as I make my sojourn through this earth that is becoming more alien all the time, how I thank God that my life is surrounded by Him. And that I have in Him that shield, that protection, that sanctuary. I wonder how long it will be before they discover that in our Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, we say one nation under God. That probably will be the next thing that will be ruled unconstitutional by the court. No longer can take the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag because it's one nation under God, and that might offend someone. It's idiocy. I can't stand it. I say, Lord, I'm ready to check out. You who long for the kingdom of God to come, you who long for the will of God to be done in this earth even as it is in heaven, God has promised to you that He would be like a little sanctuary to you in those alien lands. And then He promised, secondly, that He would deliver them from their captivity and give to them the land of Israel. I'll deliver you from the enemy's hands. And this land from which you have been driven, I'm going to give it to you. I will bring you back and you will be settled there. And then He promised, thirdly, that He would give to them one heart and He would put a new spirit within them. that he would remove, he said, the heart of stone and give to them a heart of flesh. Many people today have a problem because their hearts are so hardened against God and the things of God. They're like a stone. Stony hearts, untouched, unmoved, no compassion. They are set in their ways of sin. They have no intention of changing. And all of the pleadings and entreaties from God are met with a stony resistance. Hearts of stone. But God said he would change them. He would give them hearts of flesh. There's another analogy in the scripture of the heart of man, the stones compared to the flesh. Jeremiah prophesied of the day that would come when God would no longer write his law on the tables of stone, but upon the fleshly tables of a man's heart. You see, what God is really looking for is a meaningful, loving relationship with man. God really doesn't want a legal relationship with you. God doesn't want to bind you by laws to himself. He doesn't want to chain you. But he wants to have a relationship with you that is based upon love. He wants your obedience to him to be prompted by your love for him, not by some law. In the Odyssey, written by Homer in the travels of Odysseus, or in Latin, the Ulysses. Ulysses, of course, went off to fight in the Trojan War. He was reluctant to do so. He feigned, you remember, to be insane, and so the fellow yoked his horse and an ox to his plow, and he set his son out in front of the horses. And as Ulysses was coming, he turned the horse and the ox away, and thus he knew that he was sane. And so he was sent off to war. And after the war, he had this 12-year odyssey in trying to get home. And Circe finally directed him how to get home, but told him that in so doing, he had perils that he would face. And one of them would be going past this island that was inhabited by these half-nymph, half-women kind of creatures who had such a beautiful song. Their singing was so enchanting that no one had ever been able to sail past their island and survive, because the singing was so enchanting that the sailors would turn their ship into the island where it would be dashed on the shoals, and then the sailors would ultimately just starve to death upon the island. And so the island was supposedly just covered with the skeletons of the sailors who had starved, who had turned themselves in. And these sirens sort of prided themselves in that no one had ever been past their island and survived. And so Ulysses decided that he wanted to hear their song. And so he had his sailors, as they were approaching the island, chain him to the mast of the ship. And then he had wax put in all of their ears so they could not hear. And then he had them sail past the island. And as the music of the sirens came wafting off over the water, and he began to hear it. Oh, he was so enchanted. He began to scream to the men to turn the ship into the shore. But wax in their ears, they could not hear the song, nor could they hear his commands. And they went sailing on. And here he was struggling against the chains, trying to get free and trying to go in. But he was able to pass and survive. In the mythology, there was the other story of Orpheus, that tremendous musician, who with his men also sailed by the same island. And as the music of the sirens came out to the ship and the men started to turn towards shore, and Orpheus saw the danger, realizing that they would crash on the shoals, he took out his flute and he began to play music that was so much more beautiful that the men turned and went safely by. Now, there are some people who, like Ulysses, sort of feel like they're chained to the Lord, you know, and they have this longing and for the world, and there's that struggle, and there's that effort, you know, and there's this all of this tough, you know, oh, how I would love to, oh, you know, and you feel like you're chained, you know, the law's got me chained here to God. That's a miserable place to be. I don't recommend that for anybody, having a legal relationship with God where your heart is longing for the things of the world, but you feel chained to righteous principles. How much better to have heard the more beautiful song of the Lord and to be so attracted by His love and be attracted by His beauty that the world has no more allure. Having seen His beauty, having experienced His glory in your life, the desires for the things of the world no longer have a hold upon you. That's what God said He was going to do. He was going to give them a new heart, a heart of flesh. He would take away that stony heart from them, that He might have this loving relationship with them that He desired. And with this new heart, He said that they might walk in His statutes and keep His ordinances to do them. But it was not by force, it was by desire, a heart that would desire to keep His statutes, a heart that would desire to keep His ordinances. God will not force you to serve Him or to love Him, but He will change your heart, and He will give you a heart after the things of the Spirit. I've observed with keen interest how that when a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, how He has changed their hearts, their attitudes. As the Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. From the stony heart to a heart of tenderness and compassion. I've seen some of the hardest characters. I mean, they were just really tough, hardened characters. And I've seen when they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, how God has changed them and made them so tender. And it's a beautiful thing to observe. Years ago, when we were living in Tucson, the couple who lived next door to us were a marvelous couple, Jen and Jim. And Jan was the first one to receive the Lord. And she had a marvelous conversion. God's Spirit was just really working in her heart and life in just a powerful way. It was a thrilling moment when Jan accepted Christ. And she's a very bubbly kind of a person. bubbly personality. And the Lord just enhanced all that she was. And so she wanted to tell her husband, Jim, that she had accepted the Lord, but he was so hard and so hardened against the things of the Lord, she felt that she had to wait till there was an appropriate time to share, you know. He'd be in a right mood and things would be, then she was going to share with him. But that evening when he came home from the base, her little daughters started jumping up and down excitedly. He said, "Mama, are you going to tell Daddy what happened when Chuck was over here today?" And they kept it up till he said, "What in the hell goes on when I'm not at home, you know?" So she shared with him the fact that she had received Jesus Christ. She had accepted the Lord. And had this instantaneous peace and joy and work of God's Spirit, the new heart. It was just... His first reaction was very negative. But we began to talk. And one day I had the privilege of kneeling down with Jim as he accepted the Lord. He flew the B-29s at that time, and he was transferred up to Alaska. And I received a letter from Jim that I will cherish forever. A letter in which he thanked me for sharing Jesus Christ with him and for that new life that he had in Christ. In his transfer to Alaska, of course, he was transferred up immediately, and then Jan had to work with the Air Force, you know, to pack up her house and get everything moved, and Jan and the kids were to move later on to join him in Alaska in the new assignment up there. And he said, "Chuck," he said, "it used to be that I hated children, even though I had three beautiful daughters. I said, children are the scourge of the earth." And he said, "I felt trapped in my marriage and with my children." He said, "I can't describe how God has changed my heart." He said, "I'm up here and I find myself missing them desperately, and I can't wait for them to get here so I can just embrace them and have them with me." He said, I can't understand myself, but I'm such a different person." And that's exactly what God said he was going to do. He was going to take out the stony heart. He was going to give them a heart of flesh. There would be those changes from within, not outward oppressive kind of legal bondage. God doesn't want to sign you up to some legal contract. And then whenever you go amiss, say, "Come on, you didn't read the fine print here, you know." And keep you in this binding legal relationship. He's not interested in that at all. He's interested in that loving relationship, a new heart, a heart that's after a God, a heart that's after the things of God. Now, you that don't have the new heart, you don't understand these things. I'm sort of talking mysteries. How can a man be changed? Can a leopard change his spots? How can a man be born again, have a whole new life when he is old? How can these things be? And when Nicodemus questioned Jesus concerning this new life, this new birth, this new dimension of life after the Spirit, spiritual birth. And he questioned him and said, well, how can this be? How can a man be born again when he is old? He can't return to his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus said, that which was born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. God said, I'm going to give a new spirit to them. A new heart, heart of flesh. How? Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, when you choose to ask him to come into your life and to change you, I don't understand the ways of the Spirit, but I know that the Spirit works and God gives a new spirit to you, a new heart to you, a heart of flesh. And your life is transformed and you're changed. And the things you once hated, you now begin to love. And the things that you once loved and were so important to you, you begin to abhor them because they now appear to you what they really are, instruments of destruction. And you see how they were destroying you. These people, God had promised a new spirit, a new heart, a heart of flesh. They would be his people. He would be their God. Verse 20, the latter portion. That's exactly what God wanted. People that would have a heart after him, walking after him. When we travel to Israel, coming to Jerusalem, our guide tells the story to the people. As everybody is sort of overwhelmed by the numbers of rocks around Jerusalem, as you come in, you understand why they practice stoning. There's plenty of stones. More rocks than you've seen any place. They have different stories about these rocks, how they got there. They said that God commissioned a couple of angels to scatter rocks all over the world. And one of the angels went all over the world scattering the rocks, but the other one was lazy and just dumped them all on Jerusalem. But the story that our guide tells us is that God has placed in the heart of man, every man, a desire to see Jerusalem. And through the years, as time goes on, a person begins to feel that maybe that desire will never be fulfilled. And their heart begins to become heavy. And as years pass by and that desire to see Jerusalem has not been fulfilled, the heart becomes heavier and heavier until it becomes like a stone. But then one glorious day, God gives them that opportunity to visit Jerusalem. And as they approach the city and the city of God and all, there's such a joy and such an elation that they take that heart of stone and they cast it aside, as they have now the dream fulfilled of seeing the holy city of God. And so all of these rocks are actually the stony hearts. That story sort of comes along with this story of Ezekiel, and that's probably the basis for that story. Because as you read this 11th chapter here, you find that the stony heart of the people, as they are away from Jerusalem, the heavy hearts and all, and yet how that God will change it. He's going to bring them back, and they'll be settled again in the land, and that heavy heart will be taken away, and God will give them a heart of flesh. And he will be their God, and they will be his people, and they will have this new loving relationship with him. Beautiful. Promises of God to those who hate the abominations and the detestable things that were happening, who felt like strangers and pilgrims, but who longed after God and the things of God. God surrounded them, became like a sanctuary to them, gave them a new heart, a heart of flesh, a new spirit, his spirit, a new relationship. Not a binding legal relationship, but a loving relationship with the creator of the universe. That's what God wants to do for you. Shall we pray? Father, we realize that there are some here today with stony hearts. Through past experiences, disappointments, injustices, their hearts have been hardened against you, until they've become like a stone. I pray, Father, that there might be a change, that they, Lord, will open up their hearts to you today, and that you would take away that heart of stone. Give to them a heart of flesh, sensitive, tender, loving. Where they might come into this loving relationship with you, Father. Melt all the bitterness. Take away the hardness. Let there be a beautiful work of your love and your spirit in their lives this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? But Jesus said, whoever would come unto me, I would in no wise cast out. Doesn't matter how hard your heart may have been, how bitter you've been against God, the things of God. God can change all of that in just a moment's time. Years of bitterness can be removed in an instant when Jesus comes into your life.